Welcome to the Hill to Hill podcast, hosted by the Cornell and Washington Enduring Issues course. This is Dylan Nazai.
And this is Kobe Vasquez. Today, we'll be discussing trade, or the lack thereof. During his 2016 campaign, President Donald Trump promised to protect American manufacturers from what he dubbed abusive trade practices by raising taxes on imports from foreign countries, especially China.
Since late 2017, the world's two largest economies have been in a tit-for-tat battle of tariff escalation, a so-called trade war. One of his administration's first acts in this trade war was to impose a tariff on foreign solar panel technology.
Suniva, a Georgia-based solar manufacturer, had gone bankrupt in 2017. The firm requested that the federal government levy tariffs on solar panel imports to make it easier for American manufacturers to compete with foreign ones. After a subsequent investigation, the United States International Trade Commission, or ITC, recommended that the president levy tariffs to protect American solar manufacturers from harmful solar panel imports, especially those originating in China.
Chinese solar panels accounted for about 70% of the global market share in 2017, compared to less than 2% just 10 years earlier. A cheap labor force and billions of dollars in government subsidies helped fuel China's rise in solar manufacturing. President Trump, however, also considers China's solar dominance to be the product of unfair trade practices that undermine American global competitiveness.
The United States' current solar tariff applies to both solar panels and solar cells, which are combined in sheets to form panels. The now 25% tariff was originally set at 30% and will continue to decrease by 5 percentage points each year until terminating at the end of 2021. But the first 2.5 gigawatts of solar panels, or about 7.8 million panels, imported every year are exempt from these tariffs. However, this isn't the first time the U.S. targeted Chinese solar exports. In 2012, the ITC levied solar tariffs against China for dumping, or selling solar panels in international markets below the market price. But the U.S. solar industry at large hasn't taken 2018's tariffs well, has it?
No, it hasn't. The U.S. solar industry isn't dominated by solar panel manufacturers. In fact, the U.S. accounts for less than 5% of global solar panel manufacturing. As such, the vast majority of jobs in the American solar industry, over 99% in fact, are in other segments of the solar supply chain. These include jobs in manufacturing complements to solar panels, like mounting systems, or installing solar panels on, say, rooftops.
Right. Because solar cells and panels are now more expensive, the rate of solar panel installation has fallen significantly as a result of the tariffs. Research by the Solar Energy Industries Association, or SEIA, finds that if kept in place until 2021, these tariffs will cause the U.S. to forgo $19 billion in solar energy investments between 2017 and 2021. While jobs in solar panel manufacturing may increase, the tariffs are estimated to have cost the U.S. 67,000 solar jobs overall. The tariffs also hamper our efforts to combat climate change, as they will result in an additional 26 million metric tons in CO2 emissions by 2021. That's the equivalent of 5.5 million cars. And how has the administration responded to these findings?
Well, it called SEIA fake news.
Of course it did. But Dylan, if these tariffs aren't creating more jobs, why did the administration levy them in the first place?
That's a great question. While I don't think it's an accident that these tariffs have driven up the cost of installing solar energy, the solar tariffs likely fit into a larger strategy to rewrite the rules of trade and undermine China's economic growth.
What exactly do you mean?
Well, first, I should explain how countries write the rules of trade. Both China and the United States are members of the World Trade Organization, or WTO, in which all member states negotiate and agree upon the rules that govern international trade. Typically, WTO members can't charge tariff rates higher than what they had agreed to during the most recent round of multilateral tariff negotiations. The U.S. is technically bound to a 0% tariff for solar imports. However, the WTO framework also allows each member to raise tariffs in order to protect a domestic industry if other member countries commit certain trade practices that undermine domestic competitiveness. Member countries write procedures to consult with the WTO to enact these protective tariffs into their trade laws. In the past, Congress has delegated much of this authority to the executive branch in order to fast-track any necessary trade policy adjustments. The Trump administration, however, contends that the WTO's rules have hindered the U.S.'s sovereignty in combating Chinese trade practices. In fact, the administration has used these powers to undermine the WTO's legitimacy, probably in order to combat the rise of China.
How so?
For more insight into the administration's broader trade strategy, We turn now to my interview with Dr. Steve Saranovic. Dr. Saranovic is a professor of economics and international affairs at the George Washington University. He also teaches international trade theory and policy as an adjunct professor here at the Cornell and Washington program.
Dylan and Dr. Saranovic first discussed the legal basis for most of the Trump administration's tariff escalations against China, the first of which is Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974.
If we find that damage to our exporters has been taking place, and it could be because they're not following the trade rules that they've agreed upon, so violations of WTO code, or because, you know, they're not enforcing intellectual property rights, it can be what on whatever basis. But to determine that U.S. exporters are harmed in some way, and then Section 301 enables the president to actually provide some level of protection infringement of intellectual property rights by China.
And how is that normally resolved?
We bring a case to the WTO and have them investigate that.
And how has this administration's approach differed?
Well, what Trump did is he came in and said, well, we're just going to do the investigation unilaterally, and then we're going to put our tariffs into place against China on the basis of what we found unilaterally without going to the WTO, or at least not going to the WTO except after the fact.
Dr. Saranovic hinted at how the president's trade policies might circumvent WTO norms when discussing Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act of 1952, another WTO-compliant law that allows the U.S. to protect domestic industries that support its national security interests.
You know, when the U.S. sort of made its unilateral actions on Section 232 national security, which is legitimate under the WTO, and my understanding of that is that a country really does have free rein to put prior tariffs in place on anything for national security reasons. But countries have been very reluctant to do that. And they have only done it in very, I think, special circumstances that most would judge were valid. But when the Trump administration comes in and puts national security tariffs in place on steel and aluminum and threatens them on automobiles, I mean, it's hard for any, you know, casual observer even to make sense of how steel and aluminum, which actually we don't import that much of our total supply, I don't think, and certainly automobiles, it's hard to understand how that threatens our national security. And so the Trump administration sort of makes a mockery of that particular clause. And as a result, other countries are going to kind of feel entitled to whenever they feel a particular industry needs protection, they'll just claim national security and raise up their tariffs against it.
But the 2018 solar tariffs are unique in that they were justified using obscure trade law. Section 201 of the Trade Act of 1974 is not meant to explicitly punish particular foreign governments for wrongdoing, but to protect an industry that the president deems worth protecting, for just a few years, however.
Section 201, which is the safeguards measures, only need to look at whether the import competing industry, which would be the manufacturers of solar panels, are injured as a result of the subsidies or the practices abroad, the sudden imports of products coming in from abroad. And so you don't need to look at the middlemen and make an evaluation of them in the determination of whether to grant the tariff protection or not. However, in those particular instances, that's the safeguards action is one that actually has to go to the president to make a final decision. And so the president has the ability to kind of look at the evaluation that's been provided, but also to look more broadly at other constituencies and decide whether or not to give, to follow the recommendation or not.
And how is that different from the anti-dumping tariffs levied against Chinese solar exports in 2012?
In anti-dumping cases, the president has no say-so over those. Those are automatic, and the president can't affect the outcome in any way.
I see. So the president has the final say as to whether or not to implement Section 201 tariffs, as opposed to tariffs that are typically levied under the WTO framework.
Dr. Saranovic elaborated on another way the president is eroding the WTO, by blocking the appointment of judges to the WTO's appellate body, its highest arbiter.
In order to have an appellate ruling on anything, you need to have three appellate judges, and there won't be three appellate judges to review any cases from this point forward. And so the WTO dispute process effectively ceases.
Do you think it's possible for the WTO as an institution to rebound from this?
You can't bring a case to the WTO any longer under the current system. And so I can see that maybe in a couple of years, you know, even if Trump is voted out of office next time, I'm not sure that the WTO is going to survive this. Because countries will start to just say, hey, I mean, for the last couple of years, the U.S. hasn't been following the rules, and they're the lead country putting this this agreement together. And if they're not going to follow the rules, then why should we follow them? So it's possible that the WTO will just sort of cease being as a trade facilitator, and countries will start going off and having free rein on their trade policy.
Professor, as always, thank you so much for your insights.
So, it would seem that the tariff on solar energy is just one of many of the president's efforts not only to counter China's rise, but also to delegitimize the WTO's ability to enforce the rules of trade. These tariffs also drive up the cost of going solar for businesses, utility companies, and households, and runs counter to what the industry at large considers best in the long term.
On the bright side, no pun intended, these tariffs have brought a few solar factories here to the US, as firms that once imported panels started manufacturing here to bypass the tariffs. That being said, the US Court of International Trade did recently overrule the administration's efforts to roll back a tariff exemption for bifacial or double-sided solar panels, which had virtually no manufacturing base here in the US until the Section 201 tariffs came into being. But what's next for the 2018 solar tariffs, Kobe?
Well, what remains of these solar tariffs is in the midst of a legally mandated midterm review, during which the International Trade Commission is investigating the tariff's impacts on the solar industry so far. The ITC is set to submit its midterm findings and recommendations to the president in February of next year.
And only time will tell whether the WTO will survive what Phil Hogan, the European Trade Commissioner, calls its deepest crisis since its creation. Kobe, I'd like to thank you for hosting this episode of the Hill to Hill podcast with me.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening. This has been the Hill to Hill podcast, taking on the issues that matter most.